Oh, yeah. Oh, you did it. You clicked on the Osway Bar podcast, a podcast dedicated to growth. We know we're not supposed to be stuck. We're designed to grow and be all that God has called us to be. We post every Monday and Wednesdays. Monday's a segment I call Monday Message. This is where your home message is for me. Wednesday segment, that's one of my favorites. This is a segment called Wednesday's Word from the Wise. This is where I get to sit down with amazing guests and draw from their wisdom, experiences, and anointing, all for the purpose of growing. So if you're ready, if you're ready, growth fanatics, let's do it! All right, and welcome back to podcast. This is one of my favorite segments called Wednesday's Word from the Wise, and I'm so glad to sit down with guests and just draw on their wisdom, their understanding. And today I have an awesome guest, Grace Gabrielle, and she's phenomenal. And just, I've seen her around at school at Karis. But man, some of the things that she's doing, looking at her site, is life. And it's phenomenal what they're doing. Like your guys' chosen conference. I got to take a little peek at that, and it's just beautiful. Just what you guys are raising awareness and empowering the youth, and just what you guys are standing for. And so, Grace, for those that don't know you, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself? Glad to have you.
Yes. So my name is Grace. I'm actually not American, as you may be able to tell from my accent. I'm from the UK, so I'm British, and I'm a second year Karis Bible College student. What else about me? I'm very passionate about the pro-life issue. I just love God, love Jesus, and I'm so happy to be in America. I love America. Yeah.
Come on, praise God. This is awesome, Grace, because I just want to, hit the bat running, or hit the ground running. Woman being pro-life. That almost seems like an oxymoron. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting, because what we hear from the mainstream media, that's not really a common thing. But here you are, woman, pro-life. Mm-hmm. Why,
Okay, so my personal story is I was brought up in an amazing home, Christian home. I was homeschooled for the majority of my school years, so I was brought up very, very sheltered from the world, and it really allowed me to focus on God a lot. My parents were really good at getting us to develop our relationship with God. And so when I was 15 years old, one time we were just talking and the word abortion came up in conversation. Mm. I had no idea what that meant. Mm. So I went to my mom after and I was like, "Mom, what does that word mean?" And my mom's very pro-life, and she was explained to me that it's the killing of a child in the womb. Mm. And I just couldn't move past that. Like, I could not get over that. I was thinking like, no, that can't be right. And it's not going to be very prevalent. Yeah. So I got curious and started researching into it more. And I realized that, yes, it was true. Mm. And I realized that it was extremely prevalent. 1 in 3 women have had at least one abortion. Mm. And I also realized that abortion is so barbaric in the way that it's done. In my final year of school, I had to pick a subject to do a 7,000-word research paper on. And I chose abortion, the effects of abortion, the history of abortion, and then also focused on the beauty of life as well. Because life in the womb is amazing. Mm. At 3 weeks old, the baby has a heartbeat. Wow. At 6 weeks, it has brain waves. By 9 weeks, the baby is fully formed where it looks like a miniature doll. You can see the hands, the arms, the feet, even the toes. You can see all the face formations, like it looks like a human at that point.
Wow.
And so studying all of that and having all that knowledge, I was just like, okay, I can't not do nothing about this.
Right.
And, it was like a place where I was in a choice, and I was like, well, I can either just sit on the sidelines, be comfortable, maybe pursue a nice little career, make a nice life for myself, or I could step out and just go for it with this and step up, speak up for those who don't have a voice. And I felt like as I was growing up as well, God was really drawing me. I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the movie Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
I watched that movie. It's all about William Wilberforce and how he abolished slavery, led the movement to do that in the UK. And God started just placing in my heart, like, I have got big things for you. You are to be a voice and you have a big purpose and you can choose to step into that. And that got me very, very excited. So in terms of being a woman and being pro-life, it is not an oxymoron at all, because abortion, most people think of abortion, if you're pro-life, maybe as just there's one victim and that's the child. But that's not true. There's two victims from abortion.
Yeah.
The woman is the second victim. And no woman gets an abortion out of choice. She gets it because she feels like it's her last choice.
Wow.
And when you really study into the after effects of abortion, women are over 100% more likely to commit suicide following having an abortion.
Wow.
That did not solve the problem. Most women, when you ask them, why did you have an abortion? It's the reason they will give and the reason the doctor will tick, or so-called doctor will tick, is mental distress. You know, having this child is going to cause me mental distress. And the question I have to ask then is, how did having an abortion solve that if you're now 100%, more than 100% more likely to commit suicide?
Wow.
And that's just one thing. You know, post-abortion PTSD is a real thing. Many, many women who have an abortion deal with that. And the awesome thing, though, is that you can find healing and forgiveness in Jesus. And that's the other side of the pro-life movement. Everyone, well, a lot of people may view pro-life as anti-woman, but the pro-life movement is actually the only ones who care for women after abortion. If you, you know, go and have an abortion, there is no aftercare after that. So you're just left isolated to deal with that trauma, that pain, and all the feelings after having your own baby murdered. And it's, you know, there is organizations, pro-life organizations, that actually help women deal with that and go on a healing journey. So we 100% care about women, and that is why, partly why I'm pro-life.
Man, come on, that's powerful. You know, and that's interesting to just to think about it, right? That there is nothing beyond that. There is no care after that. So with that, like, what are, I can hear people asking, like, well, what are some of those agencies if they need those connections?
Yes. So local pregnancy centers, I know the local pregnancy center here in Woodland Park, Choices, they run, a course that if you've had an abortion, you can take the course, and it's a healing course. I know, some people who have done that, and they've found immense freedom and healing from that. So yeah, if you link up with your local pregnancy center, most of them will offer that. There is another organization, trying to remember what it's called. I'm not sure what it's called off the top of my head. But maybe we can link it below this podcast or something. I can give it to you after.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, so there is help out there.
Man, that's phenomenal. So obviously you're forming this group together, and you have a team with you called Life. Tell us a little more about that. What is that?
Okay, so what we do, and my team is awesome. I'm so grateful to my team. I wouldn't be doing any of this without my team. They are just amazing. And speaking to them, when we first got together as a group, I was asking them, you know, why did you want to become involved in this? And the overwhelming response was, I have known about this issue for a while, and I've wanted to do something about it. I've been waiting for an opportunity to do something, to be a part of something bigger than myself. And that leads into partly what we do. We're very passionate about waking up and empowering the body of Christ to do something on this issue. You know, a misconception about being pro-life is that you are overly political, especially in church. People think, oh, you're being too political, we shouldn't touch that issue in church. And it is not a political issue. It's a biblical issue. It's a life issue.
Yeah.
God cares about family. God created family.
Right.
God created children. Every person who has been conceived was created by God. Therefore, God cares about that. And therefore, we should too.
Yeah.
And so we, our mission, our vision is to have churches all over the U.S. taking care of their communities with regards to pro-life, being a light in the culture of darkness right now, in the culture of death. And our mission is to empower them in practical ways. So on our website, we have resources of how they can educate themselves, whether that's a pastor, whether that is a congregation member, they can educate themselves in this issue. Most people don't know that much about this issue. And then we also have resources of how they can get linked up to their local pregnancy centers. 78% of communities don't know that pregnancy centers exist, which is a crazy statistic and explains why many women feel like abortion is their only option, because they don't know about the other options out there. And so we want to empower people to get involved with their pregnancy centers, help them raise awareness, help them with whatever they're doing. And, you know, we had the Truth and Liberty Conference at Caris a little while ago, and that was so awesome. And the overriding kind of theme of that conference was that the church must get involved in society for us to see change in this nation. And so that is what we're passionate about.
Have you noticed any, like, gaps that the church has missed? Like, what I mean by that is, you know, those bridges haven't been connected. Why do you think that is? Is it a lack of understanding? Is it a lack of just networking and connecting, or just being focused in their own kind of four wall kind of deal?
Yeah. Well, I think it comes back to some of what I was saying earlier about not wanting to be seen as political. There's a lie right now that is being overturned, but there's a lie where, you know, we should have the separation of church and state, and we should have a separation. We shouldn't talk about politics in church.
Yeah.
And that has kept many, many people silent on this issue. Mm. I think the other lie that a lot of people have believed is, oh, well, me being silent doesn't mean that I'm pro-abortion, but actually silence gives permission to something. Mm. You know, when you're in a court of law, or even like in a marriage, they'll say, okay, does anyone object to this? And your silence, if you don't object, is giving permission for that.
Mm.
And that is what largely the church, unfortunately, has done, is give permission for this to happen. You know, Ephesians 1:23 says that the church is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The world is a reflection of what the church is doing or isn't doing.
Mm.
And so when we think about that and we look at the way the world is today, then there has been some lack of action on the church's side. And I think there is some fear with people, with pastors, about speaking out. You know, I'm going to lose congregation members or whatever.
Yeah.
But we have to come back to what God has called us to, and that it's about Jesus, not about us.
Yeah.
And he's called us to speak up. You know, Proverbs reminds us of that, speak up for those who can't speak for themselves.
Yeah.
So that is part of being a Christian. And I think that that's a great lie that the devil has got in there, that we could divorce Christianity somehow from the issues that are going on in the world.
Right.
And that is not how it works. That's not what the apostles did. I was reading a book called Third Time Around, and it goes right back to the point, like, Jesus's life, and from then up to the history now, up to the present. And it shows how right from the beginning, the early apostles, the early church fathers, they were very vocal on abortion and on similar issues. You know, they didn't think, oh, you know, we're just here to just get people saved.
Yeah.
No, that is part of what we're called to do. And we had Tim Barton speaking to us at Caris this week, and he was saying that I believe it's 2/3 of people who leave church say that they left because it lacked relevancy for them, which is because it's not speaking on issues that matter today.
Yeah.
So people are hungry for truth.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's true. And I love that verse. I believe, oh gosh, it's in Kings, 1 Kings or 2 Kings. It talks about like the thorn bush, you know, ruling and reigning because they asked the olive tree, and the olive said, how can I give up my oil? You know, they asked the grapevine, and the grape said, how can I give up my wine? You know, and it's just like, if you, you know, there is a part of those things that we do have to not necessarily let go, because like one thing that's rolling in my mind, Grace, is, you know, there's a lot of issues that are happening mm-hmm. right now. You know, I just was talking with someone not too long ago about sex trafficking, right? Yeah. And then there's, you know, all these other things. So how do you see that the church can come together to attack all these issues, mm-hmm. you know, when there's a lot of things going on, right?
Yeah. Sex trafficking is also something that I'm super passionate about. And as we grow, I would love to incorporate that into something that we transform as well. I think that, you know, if you want to hit all of those issues,
yeah.
Jesus is the answer to every single issue. The Bible, God's yeah. word, has an answer for everything. And so, but people need to see that. They need to know that the Bible speaks to every issue. The Bible doesn't just speak to faith, hope, love, and joy, which are all really important. But I think sometimes we make church only about that. And yeah. then we don't talk about relationships and, you know, marriage and all these different things, because part of the heart behind the Chosen Youth event was a lot of these issues, abortion, even trafficking and things like that, come back to a heart identity issue. People yeah. don't know their value. Mm. They don't know they're loved. And so we wanted to share that with the young people. We called it Chosen because we wanted to share, you are chosen by God. You are loved. Mm. You are not an accident. You're here for a purpose. And as the church starts to speak out on that, as we start to show the world that, you know, being a Christian isn't just about faith, love, and joy, but it's about action. And I think yeah. that's what the church has lost a lot, is maybe we'll speak about some things, but then worldly people look at their Christian neighbor and they're exactly the same as them, and they think, well, that's not really real. It's not real to them. And so we want to help make the church real to people, which is done through action. You know, I was yeah. studying back into church history a little while ago, and a few different historians tried to get their head around, how did the church just expand so quickly once Jesus left earth and the apostles were, you know, there and spreading the word? And he came to the conclusion that it was because they actually acted according to what they said. Mm-hmm. They actually reached out to orphans and widows. They actually did things. And I think that that is something that is missing right now, and is something that as we do that, as we actually put love into action, and God's kind of love requires action. You can't have God's love without action.
Yeah.
So as we act for the good of others, then things are going to change, and that will reach into every area.
Yeah, I love that, because it's so true. You know, I can't tell my wife, man, I love you, you know, but don't put action behind that, you know.
Yeah.
If I constantly tell her, like, you know, even before getting married, like, I love you, but I don't buy her a ring, I don't treat her yeah. right, I don't spend time with her, then you can almost dare to say that that's not love, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes I think we need to audit. I always talk about auditing our thoughts or auditing our friends. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just need to audit the things that we say that we do love.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at someone's calendar and you look at someone's bank account, that's where you'll see someone's true love.
Yeah.
Right? It's in those things. And so that's powerful, Grace. And I want to mention this earlier, but I love your Chosen event. Like, that's mm-hmm. really cool. I'm making a bet in myself right here. Was the highlight of the capital Z for, like, Generation Zen?
Yes.
Or okay, all right, yes. Awesome. That's really cool. That's really neat. Mm-hmm. Tell us about more about that event. What happened, and will it happen again? Is there another one?
Yeah, it was a really awesome event. The first thing I would have to say is that God was so faithful. Mm. And it was my first time organizing something like that, and just jumped into it. And it was just an awesome event. And I would just say to anyone who feels like God is leading them to do something, to go for it. He's right behind you, backing you up. Mm. So we wanted to put this event on for young people, as I was saying, teach yeah. them about their identity, teach them about what God says about them. So we organized a fun night. We had a taco bar. We had a live concert. And we had a giveaway, $200 cash giveaway. We had games. It was really, really fun. And then in the midst of all that as well, we had, I shared my personal testimony. Another member of my team did. And then we pulled in a guest speaker, Javier Macias.
Oh, phenomenal.
Yep. And so we shared about, you know, how having God's identity had changed our lives and his purpose for us. And it was just an awesome event. Javier gave an altar call at the end for anyone who wanted to get saved. And we wanted to bring in, you know, unsaved young people as well. Wow. So we actually hit the streets, we hit the shopping malls, we handed out flyers weeks before the event. And it was so awesome when some of them came. And actually 14 young people got saved as a result of the event, which was awesome. And then I spoke to many of them afterwards, and they told me how their lives had been changed as a result of that, hearing that message of identity. So it was amazing. And as just a very quick side note, with the taco bar, it was so awesome. So many businesses donated into the event. They gave lots of different items. But the tacos were not fully paid for. And I was like, okay, God, you know, we're going to run with this. And so my team and I got together and we prayed, and it was just a few days before the event, and we were like, okay, you know, we kind of need a miracle here, or I could just pay for it, but a miracle would be better. And so we prayed, and literally like 2 days before the event, I had a text from someone, and they were like, oh, my dad is really interested in what you're doing. He would love to be a part of it. Give him a call. I gave him a call, and he said, you know, how can we help you with this event? And I said, well, we kind of need tacos for like 200 people. And he was like, yep, consider it done. He paid for it all, and it was delivered to the door of the church where we hosted the event. And it really, really showed me that when you step out, God is right there. He's waiting for people to believe him and to take steps. And as you trust him, he'll show himself faithful.
Yeah, no, it's so true. You know, one of the things I'll just say, like the Good Samaritan, why was he good? It's because he was, and we've, for those who've listened, I've mentioned this a couple times, but he was allowed himself to be inconvenienced. But I believe that him being inconvenienced and stepping out and helping someone in need, there's provision there. But I think that comes from a heart of being ready to do that. So again, a lot of us, I know we have busy lives. We have things that we're doing. But for someone, you know, Grace, you know, how can we get involved if, you know what, for instance, like Andrew Womack Ministries is phenomenal. Right. And I love this picture. So picture it like this, like there's a big circle, and in that circle, it's infinite. Right. But it's God's will. And then inside that circle, there's a smaller circle that's Andrew's heart and what he's called to. Mm-hmm. So there, you know, this is something that we work with and our staff, that there may be people who have a heart for orphanages, but that's not necessarily Andrew's wheelhouse. Now, he gives and he supports and all those different things. And so, obviously, we see this. This is in your wheelhouse, Grace, for this. How can we, you know, even though that may not be where the Lord has everyone to, you know, focus 100% of their attention, how can we still be of support and help with this issue?
Yeah. So, I have 10 different ways that I actually listed here that you could do that. And that's for anyone, you know, and this does not require 100% of your time. Come so the first thing is you can educate yourself on the issue. You know, most people are not educated. I was reading a blog about why many pastors don't speak out on this issue. And the top thing was they don't feel like they know enough to speak out. So on our website, lifeisforeveryone.org, we have a page where you can go and educate yourself, and we share facts about the development of the unborn, facts about abortion, facts about how abortion affects women and society. And you can go and learn, and we have videos on there that are great to watch. We have an amazing video called Baby Olivia. It's actually by another organization, and it is the most medically accurate, most medically accurate presentation, that's not quite the word, but of a child growing in the womb, right from conception until birth. Wow. And you see how awesome the process is. So that's number one, you can educate yourself on the issue. And while you're educating yourself on the issue, don't just educate yourself to educate yourself. Educate yourself and ask God, God, what are you calling me to do in this? I now have knowledge, and I now understand the urgency of acting on this issue. Now show me my part. Another way you can be involved is to get involved with your local pregnancy center. As I said earlier, 78% of communities are not aware that they exist. There are more pregnancy centers in the US than there are abortion clinics. There are a lot.
Wow.
Yes. Huh. And so you can get involved with them. They are always looking for help. You can get involved with them in many different ways. If you reach out to them, they can tell you how you can be involved. We're also creating some resources on our website for this, how you can get connected and how you can help pregnancy centers raise awareness of themselves. Number three is to speak up on whatever platform you have. So maybe you are a Bible study leader and you decide that one week, do you know what, guys, we're going to take a little look at this issue and you're going to bring it up and you're going to speak up on that. Maybe you are a pastor and you're going to speak up on it in church. Maybe you work at Walmart and a friend mentions the issue. Well, you're going to speak up then. So whatever platform, and the awesome thing about that is when you speak up, courage is contagious, and that will inspire others to speak up. So it creates like a ripple effect, which is super cool. Number four is use your influence. And this is very much similar to everything I've been saying so far, but this directly answers your question of, you know, yes, everyone is not called to give 100% their time into this, but everyone has influence.
Right.
In fact, one study showed that the average person influences 10,000 people in their lifetime, which is crazy.
Wow.
So you have an opportunity to speak into the lives of 10,000 people on this issue. Think about how many of them would be women who may even consider abortion. You have an opportunity to potentially change their heart on that and save not only their child, but them from that. And using your influence also looks like social media. Everyone has social media. Everyone can take 2 seconds to share a post, even like sharing about your local pregnancy center on social media. Many of your friends might not know they exist. So you can share about it on there and just use whatever influence God has given you. You know, I'm reminded of the parable of the talents where Jesus had given these people certain talents, certain abilities, certain influence in an area. And with that power comes responsibility to use it. So, yes. And then the next one is to potentially approach your pastor about maybe setting up a pro-life group at your church if you have the time to do that, or if you want to be involved in that in somehow. You could speak to him because a lot of pastors are very busy. And so if you come to him and say, look, I would love to do this. I just need your blessing and your permission. A lot of pastors will give that and they'll be joyed to have someone in their church taking on that because it is an issue in church. 50% of abortions take place in church, as in they are women who are going to church frequently have abortions, 50%, which is crazy. And so that is very much a mission field for this issue. Another one is to sign up for our email. So you can sign up to our email list. We'll keep you updated on things we're doing, on relevant news, and ways you can be involved. Another one is to consider joining us if you have the time, if you want to be part of our team. We have several different teams that manage different things. So we have like a design team, well, like a media team more. They manage like our social media. We're going to be putting together some different videos and things. They manage that kind of side of things, making everything look great. And the Chosen event, we had an amazing person design like our flyer, that whole branding. So we have that team. We have another team that is more research and communication. So a lot of the things that you see on our website, a lot of the resources will have been researched by that team. And they will have found, you know, these videos that educate you on life and things like that. And then we also have opportunities to be involved very hands-on. So this week, actually, we distributed flyers for Choices Pregnancy Center. They're having a fundraiser coming up. And it's going to be at the Shining Mountain Golf Course here in Woodland Park, November 3rd and 4th, I believe. And it's a market where they have tons of people who make things, whatever you make, like whether you make jewelry or woodwork or something, and people will make things, donate them to this market, and then all the profits go to Choices. So we got leaflets all across Woodland Park in coffee shops, in stores, everywhere, advertising about that. So we have opportunities to be involved when things like that come up. And another way you can be involved, which is super important, and this is another team we have, is to pray. You know, I think prayer is underestimated sometimes, but prayer makes a big difference. And not to just pray over the issue, but pray over leaders. Pray for God's favor, God's direction for them. And, you know, pray over pregnancy centers, pray over churches, whatever that is. Anyone can take 5 minutes, even a week would make a difference to pray. And another way you can make a difference is to vote. Vote for people who protect life. Do take a few minutes to do a little bit of research. I know on truthandliberty.net they have voter guides where you can see where the candidates stand. And it takes like 5 minutes to do that research. And then you can make a decision, okay, I'm going to vote for the person who protects life. And that is using your voice and your vote, which makes a big difference, particularly locally. You know, many people get overwhelmed by the national scale and think, how on earth could I change anything nationally? Well, let's shift our focus to local. You can make a difference in your locality. And if everyone did that, if every church took care of their community, every community would be taken care of. So you can make a difference. You know, go out and vote in local elections, not just the big ones. So, and then another way you can make a difference is to donate. Especially maybe if you're a business person as well and you're looking for opportunities to invest into the kingdom and into, you know, God's heart and what God wants done. So you can donate. We're setting up a fundraiser pretty soon to raise some funds. So you can donate to that. You can donate to your local pregnancy center. You can donate to pro-life organizations. Your church is an amazing place to donate to. So yeah, that's another way you can get involved too.
Man, that's awesome. Guys, I'll have that listed in the show notes below where you can see those just 10 different ways to get involved and help support, because it's phenomenal. And Grace, you're awesome. Grace actually is going to be having a podcast coming out for Life, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be really, really sweet. So just follow her on Instagram. I'm sure she'll keep you guys updated. Well, lastly, it's something to ask all my guests, Grace. It's very, very important. So I'm just going to share it for those who haven't heard it. But we always do a 3-minute challenge, right? So, you know, this podcast, we're dedicated to growth. We want to grow in all things. And the first step to growth is knowledge. But the second, which is the most important step, is application. So we're going to put 3 minutes on the timer, right? So you're going to hear some pads in the back. Enjoy it. But what 3-minute challenge, Grace, would you give us today that we can apply?
Yeah. Okay. So my 3-minute challenge would be going back to what I just touched on, those 10 different ways you can get involved. Take 3 minutes to spend time with God and ask Him, okay, which way should I be involved in? Let Him speak to your heart. And maybe you have a specific skill or a specific area of influence. You lead a Bible study, or you have a big social media following, or whatever that looks like. Even if it's a small social media following, it's still an area of influence. So ask God, okay, what are you calling me to do? Which way should I be involved? How can I use what you've given me to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves?
Come on, that is phenomenal. Awesome, guys. Well, you guys enjoyed the next 3 minutes applying that. You can look at, as you're praying, you can look at the resource list below on the show notes. And man, yeah, take this time. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Grace, for being on.
Thank you for having me. I was really honored to be on.
Of course.